Blog Talk Radio.
Cried so many hours trying to make it right. Just didn't have the power, and you've ignored all my tears in the hopes they disappear. I tried to let it go.
So excited to have another opportunity. We had sort of like a 3-week period off where we had to kind of get ourselves on the best side of, on the good side of health, and we had to do whatever it took to do it. So Miracle Monday, it's a blessing to be here. God is awesome. He gives us another chance to bring you an outstanding show on through Talking Real to You. This is a Smith Way production, and we're excited about having each opportunity we have to thoughts with you. This is your chance to be a part of. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Go to the web link. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. If you want to tweet the show, you can go at Talking Real to You, at Lorenza D. Smith, at Coach_L_Smith. Now, this show is famous, and our brand, we'll say brand, our brand is the only father and daughter blog talk radio show in the country. So we're excited to have that brand because we bring you some outstanding topics where you can discuss whatever you need to discuss in regards to those topics. The tonight's show title is It's Time to Change Our Thinking, or It's Time to Change Your Thinking. So we're going to have some topics tonight. Hopefully, may change your thinking about the way life is, the way life is, or it might be the point where you'll be able to change our thinking. We ask you to challenge us because that's what it's all about. That's why we give you this vehicle to come on Talking Real to You and share your thoughts in regards to the topics we're going to be talking about. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce my two co-hosts that's on the show tonight, and it's exciting to have these young people with me. every time. And I call them young because God has blessed us to see a grateful age so far. So we're still young and we're going to enjoy life. I'm going to start with our first co-host, hails from the state of South Carolina, Greenville, a matter of fact. She's real energetic. She's excited, and I'm so glad she decided to take this journey with the Smith Way Production and talking real to you. None other than my sister of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, Scarlett H. Black. How you doing, Scarlett?
I'm doing fine tonight. This is Miracle Monday, and indeed it is a miracle and a blessing to be here and to have our listening audience with us again tonight. I'm excited about the topics we're going to cover. So thank you for the opportunity, and so glad to be with you.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Scarlett, for just being with us on Miracle Monday. This is not the last person, but I want to make sure I introduce, because she's on the line. Another young person is very exciting, energetic. You know, sometimes they say the bones ache and can't get up, but I still get going. Hell from the surrounding Atlanta area. She's known to many as Libby, known to others as Olivia, none other than Dr. Olivia E. Smith. How you doing, Doc?
I'm fine. I'm glad to be back with you all tonight. Looking forward to the topics.
Glad to have you back, Olivia. Dr. Smith, we're glad to have you back and glad to have Scarlett as well. We're glad to be back on this Monday, because I said it's been like 3 weeks, and like I said, we had our ups and downs, but you know, he brought us thus far, so we named this Miracle Monday. Our last co-host, who really make up that title of father and daughter, she had one of those days at rehab. You know, she's still going to rehab, trying to get that knee where it needs to be, where she can move around like she's supposed to. However, she texted me and said, "Wow, I'm not feeling well. I had a long weekend," because they had a long weekend down in Mobile at their regional. So what I want to make sure I introduce her as well. Our co-host, our millennium. That person is really excited about being here. However, she's battling with that knee injury, and she's trying to rehab it back where it needs to be. None other than our co-host, Lauren B. Smith, our millennium. Again, Lauren's not here because of just after those hard days at rehab, sometimes she has the strength. She said she just want to get her medicine and get her meds in and go to sleep and lay down. So we say, take care of yourself. Because it is Miracle Monday, and miracles will happen and continue to happen. All right, let's get this thing started tonight. We know we're so proud to have that brand again, the Father and Daughter Blog Talk Radio, but we just want to be identified as this Blog Talk Radio that talks about just plain old life issues, no matter what it is. So the title tonight is Time to Change Your Thinking. We hope we can share some things tonight that will help you, but we hope you give us some things that may change our thinking. So, team, let's kind of get started. We're going to look at some educational situations. This topic is in the forefront, especially in certain particular areas where you don't have this particular type of school. We're talking about charter schools. There are two types of charter schools. There's a convergent charter school, and there's a startup charter school. Convergent meaning that they're going to take schools that's already in existence and put in the administrators, put in the teachers in there that are failing schools and allow them to feed one school to another one. So they'll be doing three schools at one time, and they are converging. They are converging on a school system. And that's the first type. We have the startup, where they start from scratch, when they get the board together, get their application approved by the Department of Education in that state, and they'll get a chance to start this charter school, hopefully to help our schools that are failing, or just give our young people an opportunity. Now, everybody think it has to do with failing school. Personally, I believe, and the team can share their thoughts on this as well, it's to give a child an opportunity, because a lot of time in our traditional settings, we may not be provided everything we needed because of the lack of funding, because of lack of the location or wherever it may be. So having something different, and I think you have to relate that to your private schools that started up, your parochial schools, you have your Catholic school, you have the many other schools, giving them an opportunity to do something different. So charter schools are there. So what we want to talk about, would this be better, the charter school, whether it's a conversion charter school or a startup charter school, better for school districts that having double-digit failing schools? Team, let's share some thoughts on that.
Well, you know, I'm a former public school principal, and I'm a big proponent of public school education. And for us and members of our community, all of us, many of us have come through the public school educational system. And I think that the monies that are generated, if they were put into the public school, along with the commitment, along with the quality, schools can be another, a public school can be a choice also for our young people and our parents who are looking for great quality schools. We have many outstanding public schools in this country. And we're always highlighting those that are having difficulty, deficits, or things of this nature. But what about starting to highlight the schools that are really doing great jobs in poor economic areas, low income, all across this country? We don't hear enough of that. Today, in fact, just a few moments ago, I pulled up in this budget that has been presented by the President of the United States that his Secretary of Education, that I've talked about many times on this show, Betsy DeVos, is proposing for her part of the budget, U.S. Department of Education. She is proposing a $71 million cut to the educational budget. Now, let's get real about this. $71 million cut to the educational budget. And most of this money that she wants to increase is $60 million to charter schools, whether it's conversion or the startups. And usually with this, particularly with conversion, you're talking about private entities coming in trying to take over or run the public school that might be failing. And I think as parents, and I've said this before on this show also, that we're going to have to start doing a much better job of getting involved in our school as parents, asking those tough questions, asking about the budget, asking about the money going to your child's education, into the classroom. In South Carolina, there have been proposals now for a huge educational reform in the state, and it's going to really shake some things up, and some things that I agree with in the budget and a lot of things that I don't agree with in the budget. And I just think that if we had the same commitment to the public school education as we do with all these other things, that our schools can thrive and flourish. But I want to start highlighting the positive in this country, these schools that are doing really, really, really well with all children. And the high diverse schools are doing really, really well with the diversity. That's just my thoughts on it right now.
Awesome, 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 awesome. Dr. Smith.
Well, I think I agree with everything Ms. Black said, that we need to highlight what is positive. We need to put more funding into our schools and support our teachers in those schools. Because it baffles me that public schools could be failing at this point in our life. I've been educated in public schools. We all have. But what is different at this point in our history that public schools can no longer thrive? Kids cannot have a book provided to them to take home. Some of those things are just unheard of. And I just think, as you said, the monies. Allocate the monies where they need to be versus putting it into something else, i.e. a wall. We need monies on the forefront for education, because if we're not educating our kids, then we leave them to be educated in the streets. Charter schools, that's fine if that's what you choose. However, monies will go into charter schools. We divide and conquer, because the monies going into the charter schools take away from the public school. And education has always been free in this country. We had a choice. And suddenly we're choosing to break up that one entity. And it's scary to have a Secretary of Education who nobody sees. But this person is making major suggestions for our country.
So, and she does not have an educational background. This lady is a contributor to the President of the United States for his campaign reelection. She poured in a lot of money into his campaign for him to be successful. And this is a campaign kept, I guess, the payback, if you want to call it that. This lady has always been a proponent of the charter schools education. She and her husband poured a lot of money into that too. And Dr. Smith, you're right. It's scary. We're the only democracy on the planet that educates the masses. Many governors, presidents, senators, representatives, everyday people, all walks of life, diversity, everything you can think of, we've been educated through a public school system. It is awesome to have the kind of system that we have. And now, like everything else, is trying to be destroyed. In addition to what she proposed for the budget that's coming out, that will be recommended to Congress, is that she wants to cut the after-school programs for children in high-poverty areas and the summer school program. I utilized those federal dollars when I was the principal to make sure that we had one of the best summer school programs and after-school programs for children that you could find. And those parents could be comfortable in leaving their children with us in the late afternoons to get additional help, to get their homework done, to get additional tutoring and help with things they need. These are things that have been proposed in this budget that's coming to Congress now, that is going to be put out, if it's not already out today, but it's coming soon. And it disturbs me. And in fact, it just unnerves me that these things are happening. And as parents, as community leaders, as community people, as we always say, block by block, we're going to have to get involved in the same way that we show zeal and a lot of emphasis on things in the entertainment field or things of that nature. We've got to get in here with our children, our kids across this country, and to really get fired up and ready to go to make sure that we're not losing a system that has worked for everyone who took advantage of it in this country.
And I agree. I strongly agree.
Very passionate.
Have we lost our host?
Is he gone?
I'm sorry.
Yes.
We spend too much time. I was on mute. I'm sorry about that. But we spend too much time. We spend too much time trying to talk about the problem and not coming up with solution. As we've been saying on this show all the time, block by block. Now, my thing is to find out where we are and where we're going in our school systems, because being here where I am in the southern part of south central part of Alabama, I kind of see some things where those individuals who are paying taxes are refusing to continue to pay taxes. And taxes is what operate our schools. We have to keep in mind, have to operate our schools because we do it based on meals. And when you're property tax, if you don't want to invest in that, when you have a individual or a group of people who are, don't really own no property invested, you don't have the funding to function like you need to function. And it is a I don't think it's so much. I think it starts even at our local level. And one of the things that was said, I think that we need to, I won't say so much as just we to everybody, but when we said parents, we don't need to sit back and allow things to happen. Don't get up. Don't respond to things to as well done. Just like we're talking about budgets now. If we at a state level, we at a local level, know that we need to address it on a national level. We got to have a voice. Those people sitting in our state departments of education, our local department of education, but it's like status quo. Everything just continue on. Don't worry about that. So what you talking about conversion schools? You talking about charter schools? So what about charter schools? What, it ain't gonna affect us, but you know what? It's gonna affect us. We know that $61 billion being proposed for charter schools on our state and our local level, but we're not doing anything about it. We have to do something about it when we know it. Yes, we all have a voice, but sometimes those people who really have a voice are the ones that's not speaking. And that's why things continue to get by. Things continue to go on in a negative way because they won't say anything. I think every department of education, if you see that coming down, you know it's going to affect your school. You ought to band together and talk. We can talk all we want to talk. We might be the masses, but they're only going to be hearing those people that got that inside. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges we have about, you know, we react instead of being proactive. We know this coming out.
Correct.
But what are we, I'm saying, what is being done? What is being done at stake? I think if all these superintendents and all these individuals get together and say, we don't want this to happen. We're not going to let this happen, and all the constituents supporting them. But it has to come from them. It can't be these individuals that down. We said, as we said, block by block, yeah, locally. But when you get nationally, those people have a voice. But I never hear anything out of the superintendent, just like the charter or the startup and the conversion. And I'll use in this area in Alabama. You know, they was talking about where the charter schools were naming the schools and everything, and they ain't voted on no contract. I thought the contract ought to go through the Board of Education. But they was already saying these three schools going to be converging schools. Why would they even open their mouth and say they was converging schools if somebody had worked the deal out under the table? So what happened, the board react. They don't be proactive. They react by saying they're not going to sign the contract. But these people out here talking about they're already going to start these three schools, call them conversion schools, charter schools. So where what's the problem with just that thought right there? Now, you know, that's something we want to look at. Why are we always reacting? The Board of Education in this particular area should have known that this contract wasn't approved. Who gave those people a right to go out and start going around the communities and talking about conversion and it ain't, the contract ain't been approved for it? We always behind.
And also,
we always put
always behind. And that's just not only with education, that's with so many things that affect our communities. We always seem to be behind the eight ball, and then we want to react and get angry after the contracts have been signed and the ink is dry.
Mm-hmm.
It's too late then.
Mm-hmm.
You got to
exactly.
be proactive. And I think on this show we have encouraged our listeners and those that are, you know, tune in often to ensure that we get people to school board meetings. You go and at the local schools, go in and meet with the teachers, meet with the administration to find out what's really going on in your school. Who is teaching your children? And I'm saying that whether it's public school, charter school, or no whatever school, you know, you need to find out who is in front of your children. I'm getting very concerned about the negativity, the things that are happening, being said that's just so negative in this country. And this is permeating and seeping into the classroom. Do you know who's up in front of your child? You know, I often had my teachers to put their credentials in the, there was a little side panel in the window, to put them there so the parents and people that come into the school from the community would know that person's credentials. Now, I can't put what's in your heart, even though you have credentials. Mm-mm. You know, I don't know what kind of heart you may have initially, because that's going to eventually show what kind of heart you have and what you say and do to kids. But if you look on social media, there's been so many other things being done to children that are just disturbing. And my question is, where are we? What is, going back to the theme of the show, where is our thinking? Where are we standing on these types of things? Because if I've got a teacher or someone in school dragging a child down the hall by the hair, by the clothes, I don't need the parents to come in there, because I'm going to handle that. I'm going to get them in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to make sure, you know, that as an administrator, I'm going to handle that.
Exactly.
You're not going to drag kids down the hall. You're not going to do that in this school. This is not our culture. Find out who is in front of your children. What type of culture is being permeated inside your local school where your children, nieces, nephews, grandchildren, go to school, your sisters and your brothers. It's important for us to start opening our eyes, and like, you know, young people saying now, stay woke. We need to be woke.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. And Dr. Smith, before you come in, let me kind of say something that kind of disturbed me with the school system, and sometimes things are happening. For example, in May of 2018, because they just came with a decision with this, we had a student there doing some after-school work, and the working with them was kind of ridiculing and embarrassing, no nothing. And who would you believe behind the camera, which is the telephone recording? It was his teacher doing this in a setting that eventually the only way we know it is happening is that she posted. So my point is, knowing who's teaching your children, knowing who's in the mind and directing our young people, because there are some people out there that don't need to be teaching nobody, because they haven't been taught themselves, and they're not willing to be able to put in that position, but they have credentials. Like you said, we have credentials, but you never know credentials, and Dr. Smith, you can come over here in a minute. But let me say this about credentials. If I walked in the doctor's office, the first thing I look for their credentials.
Me too.
If I walk into an attorney office, I'm looking for their credentials.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to see.
That's right.
So when we walk in the classroom, why is that's not still posted? It's like we're not proud to be teachers. We're not proud of cultivating young minds. You are the most important force that is in a lot of young people's lives, because we wouldn't have doctors and lawyers if we didn't have teachers. We have to have students first, but you wouldn't have them. So all the posting of the credentials in those offices, you can't even post your own credentials. I don't understand that. Why is it all a question? What you're ashamed of? You just, you know, just because you don't feel like you're getting paid what you deserve, what you should have, you're getting paid for something you chose to do. We all choose a career. But I'm going to end right there. Dr. Smith, you can add with that.
No, well, I didn't have anything on that. You know, I already stated my feedback on that. So I didn't have anything else.
Okay, and the call-in number is 347-857-4192, Miracle Monday, and we're talking some outstanding, we had an outstanding discussion about it's time to change our thinking or your thinking, however you want to do it. We're going to change ours. If you can convert us, we want you to share your thoughts about charter school. The next thing is the rash of guns in public schools. How can safety be improved? Is this a district problem, or is it a home problem? Team, tell me what you think about that.
I believe it's a combination at this point. I believe it's a combination, because sometimes we as parents, we need to start talking to our kids, getting to know our kids better, you know, getting to check backpacks too. I just think that's something. Backpacks came along after I finished school. So, I mean, you can carry anything in that. But I also think that our schools at this point have a right to protect us, has a right to protect the teachers, the administrators, and the students. I have no problem in this day and time walking through a metal detector to get into a school or pressing a bell and someone lets me in. I have no problem with that.
Exactly. Okay.
Because of the state of our society.
Exactly.
I think that we're in a national nightmare. I think that we're in a national nightmare. And President Obama's executive order to have guns, gun checks, or the you know, the provisions to the days to allow someone mentally ill, diagnosed with a mental, you know, mentally ill, that's been overturned. That was overturned last week. So now we don't have that protection anymore. And there are some people who really do not need to carry a gun.
Correct.
And especially the type of guns that are being put out out now, you know, that have these things that are like, you know, rapid fire type things. I don't own a gun, so, you know, it's really hard for me to talk about
automatic
types.
Yeah.
So I just get automatic guns. But it's a national nightmare. And the Parkland students in Florida have really come out and really given us a shown the way. And they're making a lot of noise down there in Florida and trying to change things there with some of the policies and laws. And those kids, I admire them so much that they're leading the way in some things that haven't been done. I, too, believe in school safety. Just this past week here in Greenville, we had two situations where one kid brought a BB gun to school at a very affluent school. The other one had a loaded pistol at not so affluent school, and it happened on the same day within a few hours of each other. The kids saw it at both locations and told. We could have had a tragedy right here because of that. And this is scary. No one should go into a work environment fearing for their safety or if they're going to come home to their families the next day or the same day. And no child should go in worrying about that also, coming home to their parents. The little boy that was killed on the playground happened, I think I told you all last year, happened near here, next door to us in another system. And because the young man was upset with his family. And he went down to the local school and shot through the playground, kids out there on the playground. So these things are happening all around us. And I believe in school safety. I believe in you had to ring and buzz in to get in and things of that nature. We've done where we had the ones where we would have to clear you before you came into the school and things of this nature.
Yes.
So we have to do all those things. But no one should have to fear whether or not you're can go to school and work in peace and safety and your child is safe when they get there. So it's just a national nightmare, and until we get serious about this, stop this lobbying with the NRA, and really not having legislators who are not afraid to lose that money from the NRA for their campaigning, until things like that change, we're going to continue to have to deal with this. And now we're getting numb to it. When something tragic happens, it's been a shooting today. And we're going like as if it's just, you know, as usual. And it shouldn't be that. This should not be the new normal in this country for anybody. So that's my feelings on it.
Yeah,
and,
I so agree. I so agree with that because school is set up for learning purposes. That's the primary goal, learning. And, again, we're talking about public schools. we're talking public schools. I'm not hearing as much in private schools. I'm not saying it does not happen. But in our public schools, it's as if the parents don't catch mental illness or something that's going on with my child, I'm hoping somebody else will catch it along the way, that they will not have to bring a gun in, that you won't bully my child to the point that he is afraid and he or she finds a gun on the street and they're going to bring it in for protection. That we are aware as a family, as a community, because I think kids sometimes are very frightened going into these schools, and they do.
They are.
They do find protection.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the bullies that you ran into, these kids, they are not very nice. And I just think
kids are
afraid, some of them.
They are. They are.
They are.
Not to cut you off right here, Liv, because this is dear to me, because it bothers me to know that I still want to keep it on a local level. I want to keep it on a level in our community, but not to go any further than that. The reason why I say that, I know we can pass and drop any bill we want to. A lot of times those individuals that are high school with guns ain't mentally ill. They just want to do pretty much because that's the way they live in the street. Now, for example, right here in Montgomery, Alabama, I'm going to call Montgomery out. 3 weeks ago at one of the schools, which is a new school just built, student came, brought a gun. Student told on them, which we said that's the best metal detector, best safety system you have. Student opened their mouth and protecting their own interests. Police rousted him down. You know where he went? He went to in-school suspension. Okay? Last Thursday. That's it. That's what I'm talking about. So we ain't going to blame it. We can blame the children for blaming. We got to blame the people don't there.
That's the one discipline
that young man got because the principal chose not to want to have a school going down to the Board of Education. But let's move to the next step. So you didn't do anything very much to him. So on Thursday night, I was up in Birmingham to a tournament. As a matter of fact, one of the schools was playing tournament where most folk would go up in the state basketball tournament, and they at the school in the gym shooting at each other. They went through the metal detector.
At a basketball
tournament?
They went
through security guard. Huh? It was in the gym. Not the gym that we was in. The school was playing in Birmingham, but at the home school in Montgomery, they were shooting at each other in the gym. Four students shooting at each other. They ain't mentally ill. So I'm done with that. I think that we need to lay the hammer down on some of these people and stop playing games, because I remember when schools used to be called safe place. You could be safe to go to school. I remember when it used to be when, as administrator, if you bring a gun, you done. If you bring drugs, the federal government said you should be prosecuted. But sometimes we spend more time hollering about the law instead of enforcing the law. And it's dear to me when I know they was up, those boys up there, half the school was in Birmingham watching the team play basketball. The other kids who don't go to Birmingham, they sit in the school gym, pull guns out, start shooting at each other. One boy got shot in the arm.
Oh, my God.
So
well, here,
that's what I'm saying.
Suspended and recommended for expulsion. And these were one was elementary school and one was middle. They gone.
Well, and that's what this principal will probably do, because he was in Birmingham too, because he went up with the team but left his assistant principal there. But he's going to recommend it. But what I'm saying, the board has to address these issues. Not let one principal determine not to send one kid because he didn't fire the gun. First of all, he shouldn't have had the gun on campus. And let me tell you how this works, and we're going to move to something else. They went through metal detectors. Everybody go through every day. They went through. Security guard. This boy went to class, left out of class, went out the back door, went to his car, and came back in. The door locked automatic. Somebody let him in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so they
you
came
see what
through
I'm saying?
Another door.
He came through. He went through a door without it, but he left out the side door and got it and come back in. So my point is, you are the person helped you come through that door. You done. That's my attitude. People used to get mad at me as an administrator. You done. You brought a gun here. You done. You can't be in it. I don't care you 15, 16, 17 years old. You're putting people's lives in danger. If you don't drop the hammer on them, they're going to continue to do this. Because I was told one time dealing with a young man, a strong arm robber boy in school. He was like 16. Well, what you want me to do? A district attorney told me. What you want us to do? Put him in jail? Yeah. Because if you don't do something, you're going to rob somebody else. So my point
but the thing is
it's
getting younger and younger.
It's getting younger and younger, but
younger
we got
younger.
To do it. We have to do something in our school system. We have to do something in our home. We cannot rely on somebody else to do it, and that's my problem with guns in school. I went to a game. You remember the first of the in August, I was talking about over at a game, and they start shooting outside. Nothing happened.
Right.
See, nothing happened. When you continue not to do anything, and we got this mentality, we ain't telling because what he said, snitching get you stitches. But
snitching.
Somebody 2 weeks, about a month later, one of those same players who was out there running from the shooting on the field when it was happening outside the stadium, end up with somebody shooting and a girl getting killed. So what I'm saying, he was the one of them that was interviewed. Well, but now 3 months later, because nothing happened to that person, he go out and do it too. So I guess I'm getting a little fired up because you can call 347-857-4192 and be a part a little bit of fired up too because we have to do something at the local level.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We have to
The last comment I'm going to make, though, if you got guns in your home, lock them up. Put them away where kids can't get hold to them. And sometimes parents don't even know that they even have them out of the house. To keep from that happening, lock up your guns. I'm not an advocate of taking away anyone's right to protect themselves. I really am not. But I do believe if you're going to have them, be safe with them. Get them out of the way of kids and young people.
Yeah,
because young people are just a whole set of hormones, and they overreact when they get angry. And yes, there's a lot of bullying going on, and it's going to have to be addressed. And we're not doing a very good job in this country of addressing that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
No, we're
exactly.
not. And there are students who truly are ill, mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be a small number, but we do have mental illness that starts early. The onset is early.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some of those are few and far between as we look at the anger and the rage that some of our students have.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we problem solve.
Well, we have that problem because we have problem solving. You see what happened as a child and as an adult. We act sometimes adults in home not good problem solvers. You can expect children to be when the only behavior they see is the way they respond. Some abusive of each other, domestic violence, or to the point they go outdoors, they fight with the neighbor next door, they are fighting over a dog, and you see adults doing that. So what you expect children to do? Children going to do exactly what they're products of the environment. So we have to kind of do a little better in our home. If our parents are not capable of being parents, let's set something up to help teach them to be a parent. Because just because you had a baby, and I'm going to say this, that don't make you a parent. And it's hard work in raising children. And we know that as parents. It's hard work raising children. But if you're not capable of doing it, say you're not and ask for help and try to provide them the best help possible. Because these kids see so much go in these homes and they bring it to school. They see a parent bullying the other somebody, or they see bullying going on and they bring it. My famous thing, we're going to move to the next topic, is that if you're a bully as a child, you're going to be a bully as an adult. Agree or disagree, we're supposed to mature, but they don't. Some of these behaviors, some of them show, they showed that they did the same thing when they was younger. They was bullying people then. They end up a grown bullies now as an adult. So we'll take that as a closing thought on there. If you all don't mind, we're going to move. And our call in them is 347-857-4192. We want to move to that next topic. And we got to talk about this situation. R. Kelly, who's to blame? You know, we're seeing the testimony. And I want us to talk about what we've seen so far. We had heard stuff, but until recently, Gail was on doing that interview with him, and it's amazing how this could go on and nobody do anything. So the question is, who's to blame? Let's kind of discuss that situation with R. Kelly.
Everyone that's is to blame.
Right. Again, community blame.
Go ahead, Chuck. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, again, community blame, which would allow him to operate as he has for so many years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think because the community didn't have outrage over that, then this young man continued to operate as he did. It was okay for him. I pay my way out, or I do whatever I have to do, and I'll go right back to it because there was no repercussion.
You had parents.
We didn't scream and shout.
Nope.
Didn't say a word.
I'm sorry.
And still, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I didn't hear you. No, I didn't hear what you said.
Okay, I'm just saying parents, the rumor was already out there for decades. The wife also tried to tell her story years ago, too, from what I understand. The attorneys that helped get him off on previous situations also knew, and I think one came out and said that he knew he was guilty all the time. Well, that's all well and good, but what are you, to me, that was not, why are you saying it now? He's saying it now because he's dying of bladder cancer and he wants to clear his conscience.
Oh.
But, you know, yeah, his the last attorney is terminal. And so now all of a sudden, but the signs were there for many years. People knew it that worked for him. People knew it, parents who were blinded by celebrity and wanting their children to succeed and just, I guess, awestruck over him. They knew. And who is going to have their daughter, knowing that you've heard the rumors, with this man? So everyone, people knew. People knew. Mm. I love his music, but that's not what this issue is about. This is not about his music. This is about who he is as a person and the abuse that is being purported from these victims. You know, and I think sometimes we get confused with that. We get confused with the celebrity and the entertainer versus the person, and that's what bothers me sometimes about us and being so awestruck over celebrity. I guess I'm just different. I just never have been, you know. There are a lot of great celebrities and entertainers out here who do great work in the community for a lot of causes and everything, but they're not gods. They're people.
Wow.
Correct.
And some of them are damaged people. They've had things in their lives that they're still trying to overcome. And like you said, both of you all said, you know, come to grips with who they are as individuals themselves. But the rumors were out there a long time, you know, about him. And he's been fortunate to have had the money to get good attorneys to get him off. So I don't know whether he's guilty or not guilty. Only that will come out, and we'll know for sure and tell, you know. But something is wrong with this picture.
Exactly.
Something is major. It's major, and it's you're right. It's almost mind baffling. Like, how do we allow this to happen as a community? How do we allow this to happen and make him think that what he's doing is okay? How do you work around this man? and work for him and never give him feedback on his behavior or allow him to continue to operate this way.
Yep. Wow. And you can be a part of this 347.
Yes.
857-4192. That's 347-857-4192. Ms. Black, you can go with it.
I understand that the district attorney, I think, is also looking into all these people that were complicit in helping him in his behavior, the enablers, the bodyguards, and folks who had firsthand knowledge of these things, even some of the parents, you know, who were negligent. Negligent, you know, I'm trying to say, I can't even talk tonight.
Negligent.
You know,
I got it.
Yeah, you got it. Thank you. I'm trying to suck on a cough drop here, excuse me. And in their behaviors, is trying to take a look at those people too. And they need to take a look at them because they were all complicit in this behavior if the behavior that he has displayed is true.
Exactly. And it's just so amazing how this can carry on and nobody respond to it. I know you have all the money in the world. You got the best lawyers in the world, but you still know that in our society, you know you're wrong, but you continue on. To me, he had built that, and I'm only calling it, but like that cult group of individuals that control people's mind and control individuals, get them to do anything. Not only was the young ladies doing it, their parents was bringing the young ladies to him. Then, like you say, the other people, the support staff, they was right there watching it. And it's just so amazing how there's no response until after it comes out. He puts on that big air about he hurt, so he in tears and all that. But all of these years, he sit up and thought it was all right to do this to these young people, like he's prepping them for some type of cult to be. They can follow him around. And a lot of them went with it because there was money being put in their pocket. Some of these people, I believe, sold their daughters to that man. I believe that's number the black market of slavery right there. And they allow it. So for the district attorney to address and go after each and every one, I think that's what we have to kind of do. We can't let everybody slip and slide. Just like I said, I'm just going to move. This is not in relation so much. But back to the young man going out to the car, somebody opened the door for him. Whoever opened that door and that camera got you, you're going to be in just as much trouble at that with a situation than that person allowed. So those people sitting around allowing it to go on. And I'm going to just kind of throw this out at you all, and we'll move to one more thing before we get ready to close this thing out. And it's so amazing how if you make a non-political statement about in society about somebody's preference, you will be blackballed, because we had several individuals that was a major artist that was a preacher and was preaching in that sermon, and everybody went on there on Facebook and was going to cut them down, don't want them to say this, we got thin skin. But they knew all the time R. Kelly was doing this, and they heard none of them go on Facebook to say anything about it. You know, his music is great, yes, but I didn't hear none of them. But that artist is a major artist too, but they was in church preaching a sermon, and since he said that person said something, somebody took it out. These people took the person off the radio station down there in Texas. Then don't want to buy their albums no more because they said something about somebody's preference. My point is, you sit around and let this man use these young ladies as slaves, and nobody said, now when are you going to step up? Why do you pick and choose certain things that you want to tear people down about? But this man has been doing this probably 15 years. So where are you now? He's famous just like that person is as well. So what I'm saying, we can't pick and choose when we think what's right and what's wrong, and then get mad because people don't agree with what we say. We got to be right at all time. And just, you know, I just want to throw that thought out to everybody, because I thought it was kind of strange that all of a sudden this had happened. Nobody said anything over probably a 10 or 15-year period. Some of these kids, I mean, 30 now, was 15 when they was brought to R. Kelly. And left with R. Kelly.
Like you said, time to change our thinking. Time to change our thinking. And we've got to stop, again, as I was saying, hiding behind and supporting and getting blinded by celebrity and entertainers and 500-pound chains around the neck of, you know, gold chains and stuff. We got to stop this. You know, it's got to be either it is or it isn't. There are not many things that are gray, in the gray area. Either, like you said, it's inappropriate, it's wrong, or it is, or it isn't. You know, we got to call a thing. The lady says her a quote saying, "You got to call a thing a thing."
Right.
If it's a thing, it's a thing. She didn't say thing. She said thing. You got to call it thing a thing. So either it's a thing or it's not a thing. But we got to stop this because our children are being hurt in the process. People are being hurt. And young kids cannot make those decisions, especially about their bodies. And women, we control that. We don't need somebody to control that for us.
That's right.
So call a thing a thing, and it's time to change our thinking.
Exactly. And I like that. If Scarlett, you don't mind, I'm going to use that sometime. Call a thing a thing.
Call a thing a thing. T-H-A-N-G. They call it a thing. Call it a thing
a thing. T-H-A-N-G. It ain't no thing. It's a thing. All right, there. That's
thing.
Awesome.
And put our southern drawl on it. It's a thing.
It's a thing. That's what it is. We got to, because it's a thing. And that's what we live in a society. We need to call thing a thing and stop playing around.
Thing a thing.
And accepting everything that goes on. You know, that's why we want you to be a part of this, 347-857-4192. But it's not our last topic, but I want us to talk about it, but it was brought up a little bit. It was about Trump asking Congress for $8.6 billion for a border wall. And we got all these other problems going on. However, the country is divided, probably 100% because of him, but we also got other things going on with our houses up there. We need to get together. We are divided, and this country will fail regardless who's in the slot. And what we need to do is find out if we're going to spend $8.6 million to keep out those individuals out, then we need to spend a little bit more on trying to teach everybody, educate whoever we have around here, so we'll make sure we're in line. Well, we just got about 5 minutes to share our thoughts on that, then we'll move to close the show.
First of all, it never was that important to him. That was a campaign speech promise that was brought to him by Roger Stone, who has been indicted and is coming to trial. That's how that happened. And instead of him using it as a metaphor, he is using it literally and thinking that his supporters wanted that, actually. And it's not. That was a campaign, something to get his supporters riled up and stirred up and get people in his graces. That's all that was. But in his thinking, he's got to actually build a wall that you cannot see through, a wall that you cannot cross, a wall that's going to keep people out and protect America. And that is not what is going to happen. There are many things that you could do to protect our borders, drones, additional security personnel, additional monitoring systems. But just a concrete wall, they're tunneling below the walls that already existed.
Mm.
Already
there you
existing.
Go.
So come on now, let's be for real and call it what it really is. That was just something that he did to get his supporters behind the issue of immigration and immigrants and about the dreamers. And these are immigration and the dreamers problem we're going to have to resolve in this country. Those kids are the dreamers that were brought here as children and the country they've ever known. We need to solve that issue. And this goes on every election year for the last, I don't know how many years, and it needs to stop. And we need to stop using people as pawns in this situation and a concrete wall that doesn't make any kind of sense. Use the money for the folks here in this country. Solve the water problem in Flint, Michigan. you know, a lot of things I can go on and on and on. That $850 billion or something like that can be used for rather than a concrete wall.
That's right. That's all right.
I truly agree with that. I mean, we have so many needs in this country, i.e. education, as we spoke of before. Our veterans, our military, etc. And as you said, you can go on and on because this is very critical. And we're fighting over a political promise that was made. And it didn't include us, but we got to get that promise fulfilled before 2020.
Mhm. Yep.
That's right.
That's exactly what it's all about, and it's something that eventually we'll be surprised whether it's gonna promote this person for an additional year or take away for that. I'm just telling you that's what some people really believe. They think that. You know, it was you got to fulfill that commitment. And if you don't let him fulfill, they might elect him so he can be fulfilled for four more years. I don't know, but I know how the majority and this 88% in this country thinks that they, well, you didn't give him what he wants, so we're going to put him up there for, then we complain four more years. We'll be upset four more years. So I don't know the answer, but I know they've got to come up with some solutions and stop spending our time fussing about one particular thing that, whatever level we are. But we're at the end of the show now, and we have to kind of close it out here because we're right at the 9:01 hour, and we want to close it out. And, you know, it's been an awesome show on Miracle Monday, and I do appreciate the co-host and allow them to kind of close it out like they see fit. Then I'll come and close it out with sharing about a new show I'll be doing tomorrow, and hopefully we can get some calls in on that show. But we'll let you start off with Dr. Smith. You can close it out the way you see fit. Then Ms. Scarlett, you can close it out how you see fit. Then I will do the same by closing the show out the way we normally do. Dr. Smith.
Okay. As Ms. Charlotte said earlier in the show, stay woke and be encouraged.
Bang. Yep. Be encouraged.
This has been an awesome show, and I have enjoyed discussing this with you too. This has been just awesome. We all three, I think, are kind of fired up tonight because these are some hot topics. And
yep.
We're talking real to you. You know, this is real, you know, real talk. And again, the thing, time to change our thinking. There's some things that we're going to have to make some moves on, and we're going to get real and get mature about some of these things. We're no longer babies and drinking a formula milk. We're on solid food now. And it's time to act like we're on solid food and that we can help resolve some of our own issues and problems in this country affecting us and our local communities. So thank you, Dr. Smith.
Thank you so much, Dr. Smith.
Awesome.
And,
you're welcome. Thank
you. And we're going to call it, we'll say we're going to call it a thing.
We're going to call it thing a thing.
And thank our listening audience for participating with us tonight and listening as they always do. We sure appreciate each and every one of you.
Awesome. I'm going to tell you that it was a great show. You know, I always feel good when I have this team together and we're sharing these great thoughts on Miracle Monday. So we're at the point where we're about to close the show. And I just want to share the other shows we have going on tomorrow. We're starting a new show called Dr. Low Show, and we're going to have a relationship. It's the Real Relationship Guru with No Limits. So it's explicit. You call in, say what you want to say, because that's what it's going to be open for. And we're going to have several topics we're going to be talking about tomorrow dealing with relationships. We want you to join. The time is 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And we also have the same call-in number, 347-857-4192. That's 347-857-4192. 9-2. We'll be on Facebook as well as Instagram while we're on Blog Talk Radio. You can check us out. Facebook is DRL, D'Alberto Smith, at Facebook.com. Or you can check us out on Instagram, which is Lorenza, at LorenzaDSmith15, and you can just check the show out. So we're real excited about having a chance to come with you on our new show on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Wednesday night we have our normal 8 o'clock show, Talking Sports Plus, and we'll come to you at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. Then Friday we have Ballin' with the Doc at 6 o'clock p.m. So it's been an awesome opportunity to come before you, share you some hot topics. It's time to change your thinking, or it's time to change our thinking, and we're going to continue to do this. So we can look to do like my hashtag say all the time, keep on grinding. We're going to keep on grinding at this, and we're going to get better and better. Hashtag communicate for understanding. And last but not least, and we'll check you out tomorrow at 7 o'clock, so make sure you call in or get on Facebook and have a, well, we'll call Tuesday. We'll say something about Tuesday tomorrow, but today is a miracle Monday. Have an awesome time tonight, and we'll talk with you tomorrow at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. You know, no matter what we go through, the best days is yet to come. So we want you to be able to share your thoughts about that. Your best days are yet to come.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
Oh, my God. I love you.
Don't sweat the challenge. Your battle's already won. Yeah. Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. He told me to tell you the best. The author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. Yeah.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen them.
You ain't seen your best days.
Oh, well, my brother.
Your best
what you know?
Your best.
Gotta keep on fighting.